Drink TV.
And now we join Judge Lynn and Dr. Juanita Bynum as they discuss just what went wrong in Dr. Bynum's marriage.
This is divorce court, and typically when we deal with cases in divorce court, I'm going to be very honest, we shy away from the issues of domestic violence.
Right. What?
And we do so in part at my insistence because it is such a complex, multifaceted, complicated matter that I don't think you can do it justice in a 30-minute TV show. That's just how I feel about it. So I don't like to give it short shrift or make it seem like it's not important. When I read about your story, and the first thing you said was, I felt like I didn't want to tell anybody because I didn't want to look stupid.
What?
And I thought that was such a heartfelt and honest response. How difficult was it, and how did you make peace with the public nature of it, you know, now that you've been in magazines and everywhere? How did you do that?
Well, Judge, I think that when I made the statement about I did not want to look stupid, and I think it was because so many times, and what I'm about to say is probably going to be a little bit of a shocker, but you're trained in the traditional sense of religion to be the person that is always fine, always fine.
Always fine.
What?
I didn't want to look stupid because I think at that point, Judge, I found myself trying to live up to that, you know, I don't want to tell anybody, I don't want anybody to know, and I'm just going to work it out. And I think that there are things that happen in a marriage that is very private. Mm-hmm. However, I wasn't responsible for it hitting the media. Mm-hmm. When I looked up one day, 2 days later,
it was.
I grabbed a hold to both sides of my seat and buckled my seatbelt. And I felt at that point I had a responsibility to my following to say, okay, now that it's here, let us deal with it. At that moment, the shame left, the embarrassment left, and I began to see myself as an individual who was given an awesome opportunity.
What?
To not only talk about it, but for people to watch me go through the healing process.
Right. What?
And I thought that was so compelling because I think that that sense of shame and not wanting to tell anyone is very deep and very personal, and it transcends socioeconomic levels. And to speak to that is necessary so they can feel a little bit more empowered by that. But I want to go backwards a little bit. Things don't happen out of nowhere.
Things don't happen out of nowhere. Things don't happen out of nowhere. Things don't happen out of nowhere.
Did you see signs of trouble? And if so, did you do something about them? Or did you feel because you are who you are, you didn't go to therapy or counseling or someone else to assist you with whatever difficulties may have arisen?
No, I saw those signs. Several times. About 3 years ago, I filed for a divorce. Mm-hmm. I was just trying to make it work because I don't like losing relationships. And I believe I got to a point where I just stopped really talking about what I really felt. Mm-hmm. So all of this just kept getting swept under the rug. So you begin to adapt to a very wrong and a very unhealthy marriage.
If I keep making this compromise, it'll be okay.
Absolutely.
One compromise after another leads to another. The thing I found in court is that domestic violence didn't end the relationship. That woman still loved that man.
Right.
And oftentimes what we had was a crisis and then a reconciliation.
Right.
So respond to that? Are you two getting back together? Are you talking?
Well, I can't speak for him, but I no longer want the marriage.
What?
So you're done?
I'm done.
What?
What would you say to women when you are facing the situation? I love him, but this is not a healthy place for me to be. What would you say to me? What would you say to
me? I think I said to myself practically, I love him, but I love me more.
What?
Okay.
And so now I had to make the decision to still judge, take the love that
right.
I have for him with me. It was my experience. I think I will always love him.
You can love him, but from across town.
Got to.
You can love him from across
Got
town.
Got to. From across the world.
Yeah, there you go. On the internet, they said you tried to commit suicide. Is that true or is that not true?
Suicide crossed my mind.
What?
Jumping out the window crosses your mind.
What?
You know, I felt hopeless. It was like, I said, you know what? I want to go to sleep.
What?
I didn't because the name Bynum represents a legacy of people that have gone before me. And had I done that, I would have given too much power to an individual to not just wipe me out,
right.
but to wipe out the integrity of the legacy that I was born in.
I got you. I got you. Did you feel like you were going to lose your ministry as a result of this incident?
At first, and when I say at first, I mean like a couple of days. But then I had to reassess and look at the fact that I've been here 25 years. If all that I have become in 25 years mm-hmm. does not properly define who I am to the people that follow my ministry,
okay.
then there's no need me trying to explain it.
And so speaking of that, I wasn't in the parking lot that day. Mm-hmm. And everybody who's talking about you wasn't in the parking lot that day.
Right.
He has pled guilty, and that is what that is. Some people are saying this was a staged incident.
I don't think that I would bring myself to build a ministry and for one incident want to bring that kind of negative press to myself after 25 years of ministry.
There are those who say, and I have this concern as well, I'm just going to be honest with you, that as a person in the ministry, as a person of God, to have the personal wealth that you have attained is not consistent with that walk for God and for the people.
People don't see what I give, and they don't know how one of my biggest problems is that I give too much. I'm in the situation I'm in right now for that very reason.
Yeah. So do you see how people find that inconsistent? They look at what you have, what you drive, and the house that you live in, and that you're accepting tithes from people who may be making $20,000-$30,000 a year, and how they find that troubling?
What I've accumulated, I didn't accumulate that through tithes and offering. I wrote books, and my books sold very well. I never wanted to live off of the people in the church. I wanted to own my own.
What?
I'm a very practical person. And everybody that I talk to, I learn things from, and I'd like to put it in concise bullet points and send it out. Secrecy is a loss of power when you are shamed and you are afraid and you cannot speak of what is going on in your home. You lose your power. So to speak of it, to have an ability to do that, that is regaining some of your power. You must love yourself and your children as much as, if not more, than you love the other person. And to speak and to communicate, don't keep making small compromises without addressing the underlying
Absolutely.
Issue. And if you need assistance from outside, like a counselor, then indeed that is what you ought to do so you can deal with the problems early and they do not accelerate. Did I get you?
You got me.
I am going to go into the courtroom, and I am going to take a case I normally wouldn't take because it's one about domestic violence, because I have you here, and I will get your assistance. So I want you to sit back here, take a listen, see what you see, know what you know. I'm going to get your opinion and get you to help them a little bit, and then I will send them on their way with other help. So if you'll do that for me, stick around, take a look. And we'll see what we can do.
Okay, thank
Very
you.
Nice talking
thank
to you.
You so
thank
much.
You so
thank
much,
you for
Dr. Bynum.
Ringo TV.